Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Mid-Flight Brawl is brought to you by Heaps Normal. Thanks to our good mates over at heapsnormal.com. Independent, non-alcoholic beer that fucking actually tastes good.
Does it ever. Great. Absolutely great.
Mate, we smash into them. Comedy Republic here in Melbourne, they've got them in the bar there now, which certainly helps.
Yeah. They still pour it into a cup.
What do you mean? Why?
Oh, no, they don't. But I mean, in a theatre situation, they'd still pour it into a cup. You can't walk around. You walk around with a can of Coke. Can't walk around the Heaps Normal. I think we should change that. I mean, it's still a weapon. So is a can of Coke, but you're less likely to throw it sober.
I don't think non-alcoholic beer drinkers are chucking shit.
That's where they're wrong.
Good people making smart choices. HeapsNormal.com. Get on there. Get yourself. A bunch of people have bought slabs already. We do appreciate it. Chuck in duty free at checkout for free shipping anywhere in Australia. I'm off the booze again. So I am smashing the Heaps Normals. They're the only ones that taste good.
Oh, good on you, mate. I'm supplementing.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel good about it. You know, one toe in each pond.
Beautiful.
Great.
Yeah, I'm just worried. That's the baby's too close. You know what I mean? You don't want to be 10 pints in somewhere and then water breaks.
Oh, you don't want that baby breastfeeding off you and getting some residual booze.
Yeah.
Get on the Heaps Normal.
I don't want to be drinking booze. Wake up with a big wet patch in the bed and wondering, has my wife's water broken or did I piss myself? That's why I'm on the Heaps Normal. Get around them.
That is Heaps Normal for your house.
They're keeping the bloody lights on at MFB HQ. So
all right. Thanks for Heaps Normal.
With a H. They're awesome. HeapsNormal.com, duty free at checkout to get free shipping. Let's get into it.
Hey, I'm Nick Cody.
And I'm Luke Heggie. Throughout human history, there have been countless scuffles, melees, and fracases. When planes were invented, we didn't magically just stop belting the shit out of each other.
So ladies and gentlemen, strap in, kick your shoes off, recline your seat without checking, drink your duty-free, and start staring aggressively at strangers. This is Mid-Flight Brawl.
Mid-air madness, passengers trading blows.
Mid-air brawl on board a scoot flight from the Gold Coast.
At LAX. Thrown off a flight from Bali.
A disruptive passenger on board.
Cussing, screaming, spitting, even urinating.
Many of them have been captured on cell phones.
Where's the lady that started
the
I hope this crashes. Out the fucking door!
Welcome to Mid-Flight Brawl. Any tip rat can fly now. Here's what happens when they do. I'm Nick Cody.
And I'm AFL watcher Luke Heggie. Went to the footy.
To the AFL?
I went to the AFL.
Hold on.
Aerial ping pong.
Is that because this happened?
To the centre. It's finished with the Blues winning 50 points to 6.
Oof.
Yeah.
We were way off.
Well, we were robbed. We got robbed there.
But you know what they've done? They've put their backs to the wall. Queensland,
oh,
New South Wales have
put
made
their backs right up to the wall.
That's yeah. An error in judgment there. You've got the cane toads down 1-0.
Yeah, should have taken the foot off the throat a little bit because game two, it's going to be carnage.
You're dead.
The spirit loves being down and out and then coming back from the dead.
Turns out Queensland spirit though prefers southeast Queensland. It doesn't like the more humid climate up there in Townsville.
Yeah, the spirit wanes a bit in the heat. Yeah. Spirits don't like the heat. I've never seen a ghost above the Tropic of Capricorn myself.
I always feel bad when there's – because the COVID outbreak in Melbourne, Melbourne couldn't host game one of State of Origin. So I got to go to Townsville, far north Queensland, and you think, fuck, what a great opportunity for Townsville. They're going to pack this stadium out. It's going to be full of Queenslanders. They get to see Queensland win in this one-off game in Townsville. It's always disappointing when the – home, like a one-off event, a big one-off event. It was like the UFC in Melbourne at the end of 2019. Robert Whittaker, Aussie fighter, is the middleweight champ. and just got his fucking head pinged off.
Yeah, right.
And it really took the fun out of the crowd.
I've never seen one head actually come off, and that was in Rambo 4 when he punched someone. He had a knife in the back of his hand.
Like, oh, really?
Sneaky little knife back of his, punched the head off. Your mate start doing that, even I'd probably watch that.
I've only, much like police academies, I've only seen number 1 and number 8.
Yeah.
Of
Mission to Moscow and the original.
I've missed a few in the middle there. But you went to the aerial ping pong.
Yeah, sure did.
The AFL, my game. How'd you enjoy it?
Yeah, man. I was in the members stand.
Oh, fucking,
really
here
high,
he is.
Actually.
Here he is, the members.
Yeah.
What are you doing there?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I got a ticket. It's a class system at work. I spat on a few of the plebs down below there. It felt really good.
Collared shirt?
Well, they said that, but I only realised that on my way in, so I just had to do my jacket up. I rode my bike there.
Yeah.
And I just did up my jacket and didn't take it off. I don't have a collared shirt, I don't think. I do have one, but I'm not wearing it on a bike.
Yeah. When did that last come out? My wedding?
No, corporates.
Oh, corporates.
I've got to go to corporates in the same one.
Mate, that's great. I've worn my wedding shirt to a corporate. That's how.
Yeah. Did you unstitch the ruffles and away you go? Or'd you leave them on?
Still got the flower on the pocket. Hold on. He's worn this before. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I did actually. It was pretty good. I mean, they didn't play that well. Oh, the team, I wouldn't have thought. A fumbly. But it was your mate and doppelganger Buckley's last game as coach. So,
oh, you were there for the Queen's birthday game.
Yes. Oh, and Collingwood won.
Yeah.
Against all odds somehow. I don't know. I thought Melbourne was shit. Apparently they're good now. I don't know.
Melbourne are doing all right this year. But it is always that thing, and I forgot to bet on it. That's one of my favorites. It's like UFC flyweight women going the full three rounds.
Yeah.
Back that and then into coaches getting fired. Here's his last game. The boys are going to do it for him.
Oh, yeah.
Not the previous 10 seasons that they had to do it for the coach, but this one. They will turn up and do their job.
The old too little, too late.
Yeah.
They always do the job. It'd be like Queensland winning game 3 this year. They'll romp it in. When New South Wales used to win a lot of dead rubbers.
Yeah.
Still get the stats up, but still lost every fucking season. Anyway, we'll see about that. My dog's getting a jersey knitted for her as we speak, hopefully in time for game 2.
A Queensland jersey?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I've seen your dog. Surely you just get a Queensland stubby cooler and just fucking bust the bottom of it out. drill 4 holes in it. There's your legs.
Not that small. Get a Tallie cooler. Maybe that'll do it.
How do you get a Queensland? Well, it's the internet now. Get anything. Is this coming from China? Is this an Alibaba purchase?
No.
You've put up a photo of your dog and the dimensions and
No, it's a friend found some yarn on the street. Some
wow.
Maroon and white yarn. Went, all right, doing it.
Wow.
Bing bang boom. Gonna have a jersey. Just listening. Hopefully you're listening to this. Get a move on, because game two's coming up. Pretty soon.
Man, she didn't have to tell you she found the yarn on the street.
Well, I got a photo of it. Yeah, no, she did. She was very generously said, I'll do this. It's okay.
Oh, yeah, I know that, and I appreciate that, but you just leave out the on-the-street bit of the yarn.
Oh, right, yeah. Could have been a very thoughtful gift.
Yeah, it could have been a spotlight purchase. It's only about $2, isn't it? I found you some fucking trash. I'm going to make your dog a shirt.
Yeah. I prefer that.
Melbourne this weekend, first step out of lockdown, which means fuck all people are allowed in pubs, but they'll back open.
Oh, yeah.
And the world is healing. The world is healing because we're out there on a street in the city. We're at James Squire's Brew House.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Just drinking at midday, punching drunk darts.
That's the old Portland.
Yeah, the old Portland Hotel.
Yeah. You went there with your family?
No, absolutely not.
Oh,
group of
duds. Of course not.
It was da boys.
Just the boys.
Because it was punch-ons.
Saturdays are for the boys.
Was very funny, though. Sunday, UFC's on a Sunday. We're watching the groups of people in there, and there were some where it was clearly a group of mates, but one didn't have the nerve to tell his partner and child, don't come to this event, because there was a little girl, maybe 7 years old, in a bluey T-shirt with a bluey backpack, and then a man got caught in what's called a triangle in jiu-jitsu. They sort of get a figure four around the head with the arm trapped, and the guy on the bottom has completely snapped this man's elbow.
Oh.
And the wife has figured out maybe this was not for a child.
Nah. Straight from church to the pub and straight home again once there's a snapped arm. What a Sunday. What an idiot.
But, man, it was funny. It opened at midday, but that's when the main card started. So there were prelim fights beforehand, and there was just about 10 blokes waiting outside the Portland watching it through the window because they had the TVs on ready for it to go.
Yeah.
But when the doors opened up, it was like Boxing Day sales for punch-ons.
Oh, yeah.
Just lads blokes running in.
Over undies.
Yelling Palmer and pint, you know. Good fun.
Oh, good on you. Good clean fun, no less. Mate, we better get stuck in. Let's roll.
Let's do it.
All right. Episode 66, clickety-click. We're looking at January 2020, Auckland to Sydney. And
one of the last flights, pre-COVID flights.
I would think so, yeah. There wouldn't be many after this.
It's a dream.
What a time for this bloke. Thomas Hassan Dunmore Cribb, 39.
Is that four names?
That sure is.
Not a good bloke.
Oh, no. It sounds like a made-up thing for exactly that. Well, it is. All names are. But it sounds like it's been made up for this exact pointy end of the plane anecdote.
Oh, it is pointy end of the plane. Beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Not to be confused, Tom Cribb, with 19th century world champion bare-knuckle pugilist Tom Cribb.
You know that's back again now, bare-knuckle fighting.
Did it ever leave?
No, but I think there was more car parks and shit. This is like an actual league.
Oh, okay.
Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship.
Brilliant.
BKFC. You've got a lot of UFC failures that'll say, the problem is with these four-ounce gloves, that was stopping me from victory. Why don't you box? Nah. I just need a little bit of tape on my wrists.
Oh, is it the feeder sport for that UFC shit?
No, so far it appears to be the opposite.
Oh, okay.
I can't win a UFC championship or a boxing title. Because these gloves are the nanny state. Get them off.
Right, gotcha.
They really do. When you cut someone with knuckles, apparently it's safer though. This is Joe Rogan science, because your hands will break quicker. So you can actually not do as much damage.
Well, what? To the other bloke's face or to your hands?
Yeah, they'll go down quicker and your hands will break sooner.
Wow.
So with boxing, the reason there's so much head trauma is because your hand's got a pillow on it. People can take repetitive shots,
yeah,
but it's actually doing more damage over time than just one swift bare knuckle to the bonce.
Well, not in the fucking 19th century from what I read. Thomas Cribb, he once won a fight against former slave Tom Molyneux for the championship. And Cribb, he broke his hand in the 18th round. But then he still went on to win in 32 rounds.
Wow.
When the other Tom ran out of puff.
Fair fucking cardio on him. Got to give some credit for that. That's when there was nothing else on, though. That's before boxers had Ferraris and strip clubs to buy. So they thought, fuck it, let's just keep going.
Oh, right. You reckon they go down in three just so they can get home to the Ferrari?
Yeah, I just think fighting now. Well, Floyd Mayweather and Logan Paul, one of the greatest boxers of all time, fought a YouTuber last week.
Yeah, right.
And he made over 100 mil, and apparently the YouTuber made 20 mil plus for an exhibition, 8 rounds.
One round?
No, 8 rounds, but an exhibition. So there was no winner or loser. But Mayweather just.
It would be if you knock him the fuck out.
Yeah. Well, they said that, but it did go to. It went to the end. But Mayweather was picking him apart.
What? Why didn't you just go and knock him into next week? Like, why wouldn't you just do that?
Mayweather's 44. The guy's fighting is like 25 or 26 and has 50 pounds on him.
So?
And he's shredded and can protect himself. So there was a lot of hugging. The smaller man, which I would say is cowardice. You should just punch him out.
Jesus Christ. I mean, maybe 32 rounds is testament to how innocuous these little fellas' punches are. I don't know. I don't recall that anyone in that shit you watch going past about a minute.
The UFC?
Yeah.
Oh, there's heaps that go to decision.
How long is a decision? 3 minutes or something?
No. 3 minutes so after it starts. Three 5-minute rounds, non-championship fights, and 5 5-minute rounds for championship fights or main event fights.
And they go the distance?
Yeah, a bunch.
All right.
I've got a mate that purely bets on the lightest female fighters going to decision.
Yeah, right.
Because said their hands are too small to knock anyone out.
Even someone who's small?
And generally he wins the bet. due to obviously the patriarchy.
Do you reckon 2 4-year-olds fighting each other, one couldn't knock the other one out because they're too weak?
Yeah, man, I've seen.
Like they're the same size.
I've seen my son take stacks that would have me in a fucking spinal ward.
Oh, yeah.
And they seem to get up. So I think it would be a combo of tiny hands plus
rubber,
bendy skulls.
Yeah.
Their skulls still bend at that age. That'd be fine.
Man, time frame of an actual pub fight, I've never seen one go past about 20 or 30 seconds.
Generally because one of the fighters doesn't know he's in it.
Oh, yeah.
The ultimate advantage.
Whenever I punch someone in the back of the head.
Surprise.
It's over. This Tom Cribb, the boxer, he went on to own the Union Arms Bar in Haymarket. Classic ex-sportsman thing to do, even that long ago. Now it's called the Tom Cribb. And I've been there. It's right near Leicester Square.
Oh, nice.
Leicester Square. Nice pub, but then most of them are.
Yeah, they fucking nail the pubs, the Poms.
Oh, yeah. Pretty good. Although, for the Tom Cribb, the staff and management in 2018 went through a period of being fairly surly by the look of things, kicking people out when they had their kid with them, shit like that. Stony Broke 22, who lives on TripAdvisor, from what I've seen, he says, at the Tom Cribb, the toilets are unacceptable. There's a urinal and one toilet in the men's. The toilet was backed up, full to the brim. I told them and they did nothing.
Yeah.
Personally, I'd take that as a sign I should fucking go home.
Yeah, of course. Don't shit at pubs.
No.
I believe pub cubicles are there for one reason and one reason only.
Woo!
Yes. They should have glass lids.
Oh, look, 4 blokes are pissing at the same time.
Yeah.
Woo!
Cribb the boxer, he looks like the pictures you see on hair gel and beef jerky and all that other shit. Hipsters would probably think twice about romanticising boxing if they knew the first thing about how fucking filthy it is.
Mate, have a look at this.
Oh, you got some
easy boot hold
polish or some shit.
Easy hold hair shit called uppercut.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen that, I think.
That's probably Cribb on there.
Yeah.
That's him.
Is that Cribb?
Oh, probably.
Oh, could well be. It's the Roy Lichtenstein drawing of Tom Cribb. It's not all fucking cappuccinos and ukuleles, boxing. It's quite violent. Just because it happened a long time ago doesn't make these blokes cute. How long do you reckon until Hitler's silhouette's appearing on a tin of boot polish? Well, hipsters will have that in about 100 years, I reckon.
Still a while to go, I reckon.
It'll be funny. I'll give it 150 years.
Yeah.
Straight in. Anyway, not our Tom Cribb. Our hero. Our protagonist, Tom Cribb, he looks exactly as you're thinking he looks, a 39-year-old banker who used to work for Goldman Sachs.
Oh.
But he moved on to somewhere else, and then he became the head of investment banking for Citibank Australia.
Greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works.
He'd love that.
Mm.
Bit of Wall Street.
That's their Bible. That's their live, laugh, love. They got that shit embroidered in little circular fucking frames in their houses, these pricks.
That's a private all-boys school. That's the poster they have on their wall. Westies, we've all got Scarface.
Yeah.
And they've got Gordon Gekko.
Yeah. As long as boys have got some form of criminal on their walls, white or blue collar, I'm happy. He was described as a Citibank rising star. That's how we talk about greedy turds now.
They've got their own rising star award.
Yeah.
Like rookies, AFL rookies.
Yeah, like heroic athletes now, bankers, greedy little shits, rising star. Imagine the future women he starts dating when they Google him before committing to too much. Some enabler may see this and not run in the other direction. A lot of fucking red flags here. Not a great bloke. Cribb. Anyway, he's had a whale of a time.
You know what? I'm just gonna sprinkle in allegedly a lot throughout this.
Oh, there'll be a lot of allegedly. Cribb finds us. He's gonna bankrupt the Patreon coffers.
Good luck, cunt. I don't even have super, so can't take it off me.
They're ruthless. They'll go after my hatchback. Don't worry. He's had a good time at Auckland Airport before boarding. Probably the Qantas lounge, where maybe, I'm only guessing, this is allegedly, He's slugged a bunch of Stein Lagers, oh, the pride of New Zealand.
The Heineken of the Southern Hemisphere. It is shithouse. Stein Lager sucks.
Best beer in the world many times over. It's won that.
So what? Soccer's also the world game. That shit. Don't leave it up to the world. Anything that's the world's something is probably not good.
Oh,
there's heaps of dumb cunts, idiots.
People say that about most things. They say that about comedy. They go, oh, all the people can't be wrong. Yeah, yeah, well, they can, and they fucking are.
Look at this guy. He's in a football stadium. Well,
I dug about a bit, right? Primarily, Stein Lager gets awarded the best beer in the world in the USA, a country not known for their taste buds in general play, but particularly when it comes to beer, revolting beer. But it is all over yachts and rugby jerseys and shit. So I'm guessing a bit of fucking corruption in there.
Yeah, well, again, it's like Heineken. Heineken have sort of aligned themselves as the white collar. Hey, it's Friday. We just traded a bunch of shares.
Yeah,
let's go get a Heine.
Pretty much anything that popular. Same as Peroni. That's just Italy's VB. It's disgusting. Yet they marketed themselves to be a white collar Friday afternoon beer, like you say. They're all, roll your sleeves up in the boardroom, have a Peroni. Fuck off.
Yeah, at least give VB the credit for just going, boy, are you covered in fucking muck? Get this in you.
Yeah.
They're not pretending it's bigger than it is.
They still have a fat bottle too, so these wispy little computer turds can't put their fucking hand around a VB anyway.
It slips out.
Yeah.
They can. I'm surprised they don't have the little 250ml hand grenade Peronis.
Well, look at those thin bottles. So these soft little poet-handed fools can get their hand around it and not let it go.
Hey, also, that's the same as Heineken pints. They've got the thin, tall pint.
What do you mean? In a bottle? Oh, in the pint glass.
Can't put Heineken or Peroni in a normal pint glass.
Yeah.
You've nailed that. Yeah. The thin glass.
Oh, yeah. That's what it's for. So it's really tall, thin ones.
I definitely do not have big hands, but I can wrap them around a fucking actual pint.
I can hold fucking 3 pints in each hand. you put your hands like, I've done it, but you've got to get someone to help you put them down. Like 3 like that and 3 like that.
Yeah. 3 in each hand. That's a good effort.
You've got to get someone to put the last one in, and then you've got to get someone to take the first one out when you get back.
And then I've just got one on my shoulder like a parrot. I make my way back to the
a toucan. So Thomas, he's switched to Scotch, and then he's taken that can-do attitude on board with him onto the Qantas flight. Thomas Hassan Dunmore Cribb, the first. He's on Auckland to Sydney, and it's only a 3.5-hour flight. So he's 2.5 hours in and 1 hour to go, and he's asked for more Scotch.
Fair enough.
They said, no, you've had enough.
Oh.
He disagreed.
How am I on forename side? Already.
All right. You disagree that he's had enough, even though you don't know anything about him.
I wasn't going to be a fan of this bloke until there's an hour to go in an international flight and he's bought a business class seat and he just wants a Scotch. What's the fucking issue?
I dare say he's had about 20.
Good.
That's probably the issue. And he's a fuckstick.
21. Drinker's dozen. 21.
Well, I don't know. Let's see if you turn at some stage of this story. You're a big fan of his. Nicholas Jeffrey. Jeffrey with a J, Jeffrey with a G, Cody.
Your mate.
The elder. He's got up out of his seat. I mean, you don't get to be managing director of Citibank Investment Banking Sydney, or Australia, sorry, by letting people tell you the truth about yourself. So 5 times he got asked to go back to his seat, which sounds like 4 too many to me. Mm. Someone dobbed him into the captain, no doubt an Australian crew. They love a dob. And a call was made. Makes you think, doesn't it? A call was made to the cops to meet the Spirit of Australia at the gate in Sydney. And soon as Thomas has seen the plod.
Well, really, but it does sum up the Spirit of Australia.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Hey, can I just relax with a drink? Fuck no, we're dobbing on you. Sit down. We already told you once.
It's the dobbing kangaroo.
Hey, it's not lying. It says it on the fucking tin. You wanted the Spirit of Australia. Should have flown Air New Zealand. Oh, sure, bro. They would have let you fly for a bit, probably.
He's the old forenames. He's had a proper tantrum at this stage when the Wallopers got on. And he said, and I quote, "You have no idea who I am." Good start from Tom. You can't stop after that. Pass a port of no return. He said, "You don't realise how big a mistake you've just made. You're gone. I'm taking your badge. You've just fucked up." Wow. And he kept talking over them. And fair enough, someone makes less money than you. Why should you have to listen to them? He said, he went on to say, "How dare you?
Hold on.
Is this even Australia?"
I'm getting the dinger for this. How dare you?
How dare you?
Yeah.
"Is this even Australia? Am I under arrest?" Turned out he was.
A true sign of intoxication is landing on a flight you've boarded with a ticket you've purchased and then saying, "Is this even Australia?"
Yeah.
Maybe he was genuinely confused. Is this Australia?
Yeah.
"Do you know who I am? I don't know. I've had 20 scotches."
I'd love it if it wasn't rhetorical. It's a bit Democracy Manifest, isn't it? Succulent Chinese meal style, except without the theatre. He started kicking the fuzz. And ooh. I know I rip into the filth from time to time, but how they don't bash people like this is beyond me. Like if I were relentlessly bullied throughout my youth to a point where I became a cop, I would harass anyone who looks like they make too much money. If they back chatted, I'd put them on the fucking ground and lay in with the nightstick.
Well, maybe they wait and strike, like they got that, what's his name, Peter? It was the... He's the guy ripping everyone
Foster.
Off. No, Peter Foster. Peter they Foster. Just tackled him at the beach.
Port Douglas. That was a classic. He must have thought in the 10 seconds leading up to that, he'd think, why is there a drone right near me? There's a drone. It's like a current affair or someone did it in conjunction with the police. They seem to be partners now. Had a drone there to film the whole thing. It was sick. Great. And he's worried about his little dogs. Heart of gold, Peter Foster.
I'm more interested in what sort of kicks old Four Names is throwing out there.
Oh.
These aren't, you know, it's not an axe kick or a proper calf kick or is he
absolutely not. It's a fairly soft one, I reckon, with a semi point of his Julius Marlowe. Cops are all terrified of getting sued, so they take their unhappiness out on the fucking working classes. It's a mistake, I reckon. If four cops were doing a stacks on a prominent greedy businessman, most of us would just turn a blind eye.
Oh,
you should be standing there going, "What? Jerry Harvey's getting fucking pistol whipped in the gutter in broad daylight, is he? I'm not even going to film that." Yeah. Like it didn't happen.
That would be, I think, a phones away situation.
Yeah. Just yell it out.
Who is
Put
it?
Put your phones away, everyone. All right.
No, he's on BRW's top 200 list and all the shops nearby just start deleting the camera footage out the front. Yeah.
That'd be Australian. That'd be proper. I'd have to stop dobbing for 10 minutes to fucking let that happen.
Well, see, that's the problem, though. It's the people that deserve to get the shit kicked out of them. Never do.
No.
And then it's, hey, Sri Lankan family that's fitting in well in the neighbourhood, we're going to raid your house at night and send you to an island.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
You know, even though the community's behind us.
The dobbing only extends to a certain level and then it stops. No one's dobbing on fucking the big four. Well, they are, but nothing happens.
I don't know if we spoke about it last year, the comment section on Courier Mail sometimes. There's that one of the – I think we did. There was a COVID outbreak at an aged care home.
Yeah.
And they did a story on this bloke that's just taking photos in front of his numerous Maseratis and shit. Just a real fucking asshole. Not, you know, his aged care facility's terrible. People have bed sores and
– Oh, he was the
staff
owner.
Staff are undertrained and – yeah. And this cunt's in a mansion with a sweet car collection. And people underneath in the comments are like, why are you going him? He took a bloody crack at starting a business. That's what Australia's about. You're like, how are you standing up for this guy?
That's fucking God bless America shit.
Mm.
Car collection. That'll fucking do me.
Yeah.
Anyone with a car collection, you should just be allowed to bash them. What the fuck? Two. Maximum two.
Yeah.
And that's if you're more than two people. Well, that's fucking insane. Grow up.
We were talking about fighters before.
Yeah.
Floyd Mayweather has the same car collection in three different cities, but they're all in the same color in those cities.
Yeah.
So he knows where he is.
Oh, yuck. What do you mean?
He's got like LA, Vegas, Miami, and he'll have the same cars, but it's like black in Vegas,
oh,
red in LA, okay, white in Miami or something.
Yeah. What a great guy.
Almost the worst thing about him.
Oh, well.
Too bad you can't go to jail for bad taste.
Yeah.
You can go there, though, for other things.
He's kicking away at the filth, right? He's also said, well, this is going on, I'm a law student. I think I know enough to understand that I'm not saying anything until I speak to my lawyer. Give me my phone. I get a phone call, he said.
Sounds like he's more of a CSI Miami student.
Yeah, I think he's watched too much of that show. I don't know if he's a law student, but chances are he's not. Every law student in Sydney becomes a fucking comedian, so I ought to send him on the scene. Haven't seen Thomas Hassan Dunmore Crib once. He has certainly seen a movie or two, though.
Another projector slide. All right.
Yeah.
You know what his background is.
That phone call thing, I think it's bullshit. One of Brisbane's great characters, Jared Baden Clay, he was it's like when, you know, Aussies watch too much American shit.
Yeah.
He got his phone confiscated and he had Googled pleading the fifth in the middle of the night when his wife had gone missing and the cops hadn't turned up yet to ask what he'd done. He actually Googled pleading the fifth.
Aussie version.
Oh, what a champ. That's before he got bitten by caterpillars on the face or something in the shape of three fingers. Like, you know how he scratches across his face?
Yeah.
He fell asleep at a picnic and fucking caterpillars bit him or something. That was his, I don't know, what are you saying? It was mad. Nearly got off. Still nearly got off. Amazing. Having said that, though, I reckon after we get cancelled in a year or two, I'm going to snap my laptop in half. I've learned a lot of bad shit in the last 12 months on the internet.
That look good?
Oh, fuck. Man, I'm still obsessed with Murderpedia. It's a bad look to have in your history, just that much murder.
No. It's not a bad look if you don't do a murder.
Yeah, but there could be one done in my apartment block or something. You know, who's been looking at Murderpedia for all the tricks? This guy. But no, I'm just looking for the funny stuff.
Is it more along the lines of you can only read so many recipes before you have a crack at cooking?
Yeah. How many cats do I need to kill before I move on to humans? I was browsing through Murderpedia recently, right? And obviously I've come across a Cody.
Oh, but, yeah.
Not one of your mates. This was a first name Cody.
I've got a cousin with the first name Cody. Yep.
Cody?
No.
Ah, that would have been good.
Yeah, I know.
Like a CODIE.
By the way.
CODY in the end.
Imagine just a Cody hyphen Cody. One name. But how your reaction then is the same one that I've heard throughout my entire life. Cody.
The thing is, it's not outside the realm of possibility. Like it's, you know. I had a relative who married into the Heggie name and her name was Peggy. She married him, became Peggy Heggie. So this is 14-year-old Cody Posey of New Mexico, and he's a bit sick of his dad hitting him.
Oh,
so
I thought he'd be sick of his name.
Well, Cody Posey. It is a bit funny. And so he didn't like getting hit, so he's ended up killing his stepsister, stepmother, and his dad with a gun that was lying around. And the interesting part of this, I mean, that's just run-of-the-mill American fucking another day, another dollar.
Yeah.
But the surviving relatives, they filed a wrongful death lawsuit in Miami for some reason. I assume that's because where all the fucking magic happens. And the lawsuit, that named three people as culprits. Cody Posey for being the trigger man. And then the true perpetrators of the crime, Rockstar Games, Grand Theft Auto creator, as well as Sony for making PlayStation. Turned out Cody didn't kill his family. Grand Theft Auto, colon Vice City, did.
Wow.
Pretty good.
Oh, well, hold on. Did they really? Because Vice City is based on Miami.
Yeah.
In the video game, it's based in like a fake Miami.
Okay.
So if they filed it there thinking, well, fake Miami's like real Miami, this is where he did it.
No, he did it in New Mexico.
Yeah, I know, but so, why are they filing it in Miami? They've gone to real Vice City.
That's where the best lawyers are. That's where you get someone who's going to take up your cause.
Someone with a white suit going to get you some cash.
I've said this before and I'll say it again. If you're going to bash your sons, don't let them play video games. You don't get to have both of those things. That's greedy. Tick and time bomb those two ingredients. Don't do it.
I thought you were going to say if you're going to bash your son, don't leave a firearm laying around.
Yeah.
The great equalizer.
Put ideas in his head. I mean, stopping bashing your son, that's out of the question. But get rid of the guns and the video games. So anyway, Thomas Hassan Dunmore Cribb, the elder, he was at the AFP station too drunk to be interviewed. So he's later on, he apologised. He said, yeah, I fucked up. I'm really sorry. I had a few drinks. That's a direct quote.
Too drunk to be interviewed?
Yeah.
But if you're drunk enough to get up out of your seat on a flight, you're fine.
You can start kicking the cops in the shins, yeah.
Yeah.
I reckon you're fine to talk. This would have been a very different story if Tom was going to Auckland, I reckon. Cops would have absolutely brutalised him. The other watch house prisoners would have laid him out. Thomas Hassan Dunmore Cribb, all names are in trouble. This is what happened to him. He took a salary reduction from Citibank as punishment in a show of moral integrity. The bank made a stand against violent entitlement by using the opportunity to save a little bit of fucking cash on Tom's wages. Cash is king, bottom line. How's that?
Greed, for lack of a better word, is good.
Yeah, great to take a moral stand.
Yeah, try to look like a good bloke out of that. Fuck off. Man, if I started, as an entree, if I started kicking the cops, I'd end up with a pig's forehead to my fucking nose, for starters, and then it'd go from there.
To be fair, though, he lost money. If you bashed a cop, you'd probably sell more tickets.
Yeah. You reckon they take that into account?
Oh, next.
Punching up.
Next to a Luke Heggie, practice what I preach.
Yeah.
Stadiums. You'd be the stadium act.
Inciting the riot. Cribb's lawyer said he had provided a lot of glowing character references. Surely judges are sus of that. Most easily fabricated document in existence. Oh, yeah, look, Tom's a 10 out of 10 bloke, said all his mates who stand to gain a fair bit by him keeping his fucking job. He was described in his character references.
Imagine getting a character reference from a higher up at Citibank.
Yeah, that's what you're getting. But they don't want to make it too good because they still want to dock his wages and keep that for themselves.
Mm.
So he was described in these as a gentle soul. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but there's a modern literary classic called Do You Know Who I Am? I'm Taking Your Badge, Fuckhead, authored by Mr. G. Soul.
Maybe you meant gentle soul, S-O-L-E. The shoes are soft, mate. They wouldn't have left a mark on the cops.
Hardly touched you.
He actually had business class slippers on.
Yeah. Oh, if that was, he would have sued the cops for breaking his toe on their knees. Judge told him to keep seeing his psychologist. And the judge also said, Cribb, you're not getting special treatment, as she gave Cribb special treatment. $1,000 fine and a 2-year good behaviour bond.
Fucking hell.
That's it. He would have charged that $1,000 back to Citibank customers as soon as he got back to the office.
Oh, yeah.
That's nothing. That is literally nothing.
All of a sudden, my ATM fees are $3.50.
Yeah, fucking oath. So, this is probably before your time. I remember when banks used to be at least pretend that they were grateful that they had all your cash to do with whatever the fuck they wanted. Now it's framed as a big favour to me that I'm allowed to park my cash there. Rack off, loser. Give us, on top of all your money, $2.50 a month in account keeping fees. And fucking, oh, you want to use your own money, do you? You want that little Visa symbol on your ATM card, do you? $25 a year, you little shit. You want to buy groceries? Fuck off, buddy. That'll be a buck a pop. Hand it over. They used to at least not do that shit.
Yeah, I heard there was some bank ad I heard on the radio the other day, sickening. It was about, fuck, what was the tagline was, for a banking solution as individual as you. Like all marketing now is
you.
You're an individual and
yeah,
you're the best and you're on a journey, a banking journey.
Yeah, that's how they get the youth. Yeah, some sort of quest. I should just say, give us your fucking money, you little shits.
Oh, I'd respect that so much more. Oi, cunt, where else are you going to put it? Ah, fair play. Amex.
The magistrate in this case had a gawk at her, Jennifer Atkinson. Quite lenient here. Not quite as soft in 2012 up in Toronto when reacting to a crime committed by former Cronulla Sharks player turned prison officer.
Prison officers say they'll take strike action after one of their own was jailed for bashing an inmate in Newcastle last year. Terry Dolling repeatedly punched the prisoner in the head in a cell at Newcastle Courthouse. The court heard Dolling snapped after the inmate infected with hepatitis C spat in his face. Magistrate Jennifer Atkinson said Dolling had grossly abused his position of trust and authority, leaving her no choice but to send him to prison for at least 4 months. Dolling's lawyer will appeal against the sentence.
Fucking hell. You sent me the clip. I didn't listen to that beforehand.
Yeah.
So a prisoner with hepatitis spat on him.
Yep.
He has rightly kicked the fuck out of him.
Yeah.
And has gone to prison for 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas old mate Four Names, kick a cop, I'll take your badge.
Yep.
$1,000 fine.
Yeah, that's it.
Wow.
Fucking brilliant. I watched the assault a few times and usually I'd say spit in the face, everything's on the table. Find yourself in Murderpedia for that. The works, whatever. The guy spat through the bars and Terry had to get out his keys and fiddle about for the right one, unlock the cell, maintain the rage, and then lay at least a dozen hits or so on the bloke. Probably, honestly, exposing himself to Hep C on a much larger scale.
Yeah.
Doing that.
Open wounds.
But even so, I would see red if someone did that. Hep C or no Hep C. Fuck that.
You did see red.
Anyway.
Out of the guy's nose, he is on his knuckles. That's a bit of great rugby league science, though. He spat at me and he's got hepatitis. I better open up some wounds on him and get real close.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, see if we can spread it around to everyone.
That would be terrifying, though, ex-leaguey as a prison guard.
Yeah. Well, in the end, the sentence was overturned. Even the New South Wales Premier, Barry O'Farrell, chimed in and said, yeah, he shouldn't go to jail for that, and he didn't. Imagine a screw going to jail. You get shanked before you finish your first bowl of fucking custard. there's no way you'd survive as a prison guard actually in jail. No way.
Barry O'Farrell said a lot of things, including, I didn't meet with James Packer to discuss the casino. I just watched the Four Corners on old mate Barry.
Oh, did you?
On your public parklands, a big fucking cast.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
How do you say, is it Bangaroo? Bangaroo? What's the?
Barangaroo.
Barangaroo.
Yeah.
Barangarang.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, all the swings down at my place, down near my place, there'll be a high rise in that soon. Just take out the monkey bars, whack a high rise on it.
This is why I can't. Have you heard Skrillex before? I doubt you would have. Bangarang?
No.
This is the casino. Bangarang.
You think they just play that 24 hours a day down at the casino to completely disrespect the land it's on? Fuck it. It's ours now. We're shifting units. Piss off. I had a bit of a look for Terry Dolling in archival Cronulla footage in the hope that he was a violent player. But he only played 3 matches and I never found anything of him playing.
Oh.
By the way, though, the non-existent class system we have in Australia is fucking thriving. Don't worry about it. Different for Terry than it is for...
Four names.
Thomas Cribb. Three weeks after he got off with fuck all, Thomas Hassan Dunmore Cribb has left Citibank, probably resented them saying they'd take a few bucks off him as punishment for shining a light on how much bankers disrespect regular citizens for breathing some of the fucking same air that should really belong to them. How long till you reckon we're paying for air from these bastards?
My favourite is you go into a bank and ask a question and then the human there has the nerve to pull the phone out and say, speak to the person on the phone. Okay, that's fucking why I came in here.
Yeah.
To talk to you. It's like it's a different – and obviously the people working at the bank, at the teller, they're not the issue. It's above them.
Yeah.
It's been handed down. You can only do a few things. Anything else, you've got to call a call center. So I've had to go on my car to drive somewhere to call a call center.
Yeah, I feel the same way when you go to the doctor – and they open Google up when you tell them what's wrong with you. Yeah, fucking hang on. I've been specifically told not to do this. Now you are doing it. Makes you think, doesn't it? So now, because he left Citibank, now he's the chief business officer for Splend, which I don't know if you've heard of this, but it's a recently invented middleman business which has shimmied its way into the car hire rideshare market to rip off drivers even more than they already are.
Allegedly.
It's amazing. What they do is they prey on people who dream of becoming Uber drivers but don't own a car.
Oh, this was massive in the States. There's an episode of The Dollop that where they spoke about Uber.
Yeah.
And there was a company over there that was, you know, selling a Toyota Camry.
Yeah.
$1,500 a month, just paid off in 15 years.
It's fucking insane. They give them a car and promise they'll one day realise their dream of owning such a car and in the meantime just rob them blind, just like that.
Allegedly.
Honestly, nothing is beneath the Thomas Cribs of the world, is it? Like, and you admire white-collar criminals for their guile.
Mate.
I'd prefer a Cody Posey who plays a few video games and kills only three people. Thomas Cribb, he'd have a much bigger body count. Just never been a trigger man.
This is their trigger, mate, the mouse.
Oh, yeah.
The almighty mouse.
Yeah.
Clicking on shit.
Mouse is mightier than the pistol.
Although I reckon Cody Posey's dad would have rather had a fucking Logitech pegged at his head.
Yeah. Yeah, the mouse that roared, give me all your fucking money.
That brings us to the end of another episode of Midflight Brawl. Fuck, they just end in a grim fashion a lot of times. I reckon more you're on Murderpedia, the sadder these are ending.
I've got to get off it. Sorry. There'll be some good feel-good hits of the summer coming up.
The winter months have really turned heggy dark. It's gotten down to a chilly 24 in Sydney, and it's really done him in. What gigs do you have coming up, mate?
Immediately I've got to go and rotate my beef jerky outside. But other than that, I don't know.
Mate, you're making touring. Your own. You know you can buy it at the shops, much like roast chops.
I do know you can buy it at the shops. $200 a kilo, no problem. I'm aware of this. We're just fucking talking about this middleman shit. Do it yourself.
I didn't even know about it. How do you even make it? Do you just leave a steak outside for ages, or how does it work?
Yes, that's what you do. Yeah. You're a dickhead. No.
By the way, beef jerky, there's no middle price beef jerky.
I know.
There's either ones where it just looks like they've taken some licorice straps and flavored it with beef.
Yep.
And that's, you know, a couple bucks. Or it's the shit that it's harder to chew through than a truck tire.
Yeah.
But it tastes all right.
Yeah.
And that's $15 for a little pack.
Oh, yeah. The price is insane. You could churn through $100 in a minute if you wanted. Shelf prices. Yeah, I make my own. It's good. It's very nice. Pack full of protein.
Well, go flip your beef jerky. LukeHeggie.com for upcoming tour dates. You're recording soon at the Metro.
Oh, yes, I am. Mid-July. Still haven't locked down tickets, but they'll be on sale probably as this comes out next couple of days.
Right.
So get in. It's a big theatre. I'm not going to fucking fill it. It's going to look like shit if people don't come. But get in there.
LukeHeggie.com, at Midflight Brawl on Instagram, midflightbrawlpod@gmail.com. Thanks for everybody, runny nose.
Go
get another test that sends us messages. Greatly appreciated. Get on the Patreon, patreon.com/midflightbrawl. Heaps normal. They've been supporting the show. Go and check them out. Buy a slab. Use duty free at checkout for free shipping. And I've got no gigs coming up. I'm waiting for a baby to fall out that I can call Nick Jr. And the world will keep turning, regardless if it's a boy or a girl. Nick Jr., here they come.
Oh, yeah. Nick, it's a girly or a boy name.
Yeah.
Jeffrey or Jessery as a middle name.
Nicole Jr. Jessery Cody. That's going to be the baby.
All right, mate. I'll cop you next week.
See you, mate.
Take it easy.
Thanks for tuning in to Mid-Air Brawl. This is our very first episode. Heggy, you're already shaking your head.
It's Mid-Flight Brawl, dickhead.
Oh, fucking hell.
Okay, ready to go. The clap. Hang on, sorry, I fucked it. Clap.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.